meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And as we always do on a Sunday at exactly this time, we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society for our Abandoned Manitoba segment. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So, last week's clue, if you will.
I said that although this series is about historic sites in Manitoba, that today we'd be talking about a topic that might lead listeners to think we're talking about abandoned Alberta.
Why? Well, why? What are you talking about?
Well, I want to talk today about what I call the DeLow Hoppers. It's a number of hopper cars sitting on an abandoned CPR line near DeLow, which is actually in southwestern Manitoba, about 7 miles north of Hartney.
Okay. And what's a hopper car?
If you've seen any modern train, you know that there's several types of cars. You know, there's flatbeds, for example, where they put those big containers on them.
Right.
There are tankers where they put oil and other liquids. There's box cars that are basically a box on wheels. And there are hoppers. We're not talking about, of course, something that hops or jumps. The car rolls on the tracks just like every other train car, except this one, they're made up of hoppers, basically a conical-bottomed container so that you can put some kind of material in it, usually some kind of flowable material, and then to empty the car again, you simply open a valve at the bottom of the hopper and it drains out.
Like grain or something like that?
Grain, okay. Chemicals, there's all sorts of things that you can store in hoppers. Most of these are built to a standard design. They're usually made out of steel, but some of them are made out of aluminum because they're made to run on lines that are a little older, a little lighter weight, so that you can move grain or whatever you're moving from some places.
Keeping it light.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did hoppers first appear?
As far as I can tell, around 1972, and of course before this time, before 1972, they used basically standard boxcars for moving grain, not particularly well suited for that function. The idea being, of course, is that a boxcar is a fairly generic kind of thing. It has a sliding door on one side. So, of course, that's not a very good thing to with grain. You open right. The door and the grain pours out.
And the pigeons, pigeons.
So they would have to do what they called coopering. They would basically nail boards up right. The side of the door to keep the grain in, and which, of course, incurs time and incurs cost. So a boxcar is not a very efficient way to move grain.
So why were they introduced?
The hoppers were introduced basically to carry grain in a much more efficient way than boxcars and, of course, to be able to be loaded and unloaded quickly. You know, and the whole premise for this, the whole reason for the introduction is that in the late 1960s, early 1970s, Canada made some very large grain sales to China mm-hmm. and Russia. And what this meant is they had to move a lot of grain from the prairies to the ports to ship them overseas. And this severely taxed the railways because, well, unfortunately, listeners probably, some of them are aware of something called the crow rate, the crow's nest pass freight rate.
Right.
And basically what it said is that the railways could only charge farmers a certain amount to move the grain. And it wasn't economical. It wasn't making the railway money. And so they were neglecting maintenance of their tracks.
Uh-huh.
They were neglecting maintenance of their rolling stock. And the result was they just didn't have enough working cars to move the grain for these big orders in China and Russia. So the Canadian government stepped in. They said, okay, railways, if you can't move the grain because you don't have enough working cars, we will buy some very efficient hopper cars. And this will hopefully avoid the problem. It'll get the grain moving. They gave them basically to the two railways, the Canadian Pacific, the Canadian National, at no cost,
wow.
With only three conditions. One, they could use them as though they were their own property, but they were obliged to maintain them and repair them.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But they could only be used in Western Canada unless for some reason there was an emergency. If the government allowed it, then they could move them somewhere else in Canada. But they had to be used in Western Canada, of course, where the grain was being produced. And the third condition is that they could only be used to haul agricultural products. But if they ever were used for something else, they would have to pay a fee. The railways have to pay a fee to the owners, the federal government.
So how many did the government give them? How many hoppers were there?
Well, the initial order was for 2,000 of them. But over time, from the 70s through to the 2000s, the number of federally owned cars went up to 13,000.
Yeah, like 2,000 didn't sound like too much.
No, yeah. It isn't. But now we're up to 13,000. And then you add to that total another 6,000. So 4,000 of that 6 was owned by the Canadian Wheat Board.
Right.
Now, effectively, that was with money provided by the federal government. So, in effect, those are another 4,000 federal cars. Then the government of Alberta stepped in and had 1,000 cars made, and some of those are the ones we're talking about today. The Saskatchewan government also bought another 1,000. So that's kind of interesting. Two out of the three prairie governments bought railway cars. Manitoba, as far as I know, never got into the business of buying hoppers. You know, and so by the mid-1980s, hoppers had virtually replaced boxcars as a way of moving grain. All of the grain was now moved in hoppers rather than with boxcars.
So we didn't have any here in Manitoba, but there were a ton of them. What's happened to the public fleet?
Well, presently there's about 22,000 hoppers that are used for grain transportation in Canada.
Right.
They're owned mostly by the federal government and by the railways. The railway does have their own as well, but there's also these provincially owned cars, and there's individual shippers, there's third-party lessors that own them as well. Interestingly enough, I said that they were first built in the 1970s, and
right.
the lifespan of a hopper is estimated to be somewhere around 40 to 50 years. Well, do the math, that says they're now reaching the end of their life. So, in fact, of the original 13,000 federal hoppers, there's only about a little over 8,000 that are still in service as a result of accidents and gradual, you know, wearing down.
Do they rust? Is it a rust thing too?
They rust. The mechanicals,
sure.
you know, the actual moving parts, you know, wear out.
Of course.
So eventually, the federal government decided to get out of the business of owning hoppers, and so they announced at one point they were going to sell the remaining hoppers. And actually, there was a group of farmers that stepped in offering to buy them, and then the government had second thoughts and they pulled back. Yeah, so Saskatchewan actually has just recently sold its entire fleet of hoppers to what are called short line railways, railways that just operate over a short line within the province of Saskatchewan. So Saskatchewan is no longer in the business of owning hoppers, but the Alberta government so far has resisted any sale of its cars.
They don't want to sell them at all.
Appears that way.
How do we know which ones are Alberta's?
Well, they are all quite distinctive. The Alberta hoppers are all painted sort of a light blue.
Oh, right. They got the gold.
They got the big word Alberta on the side.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest clue.
Right.
And then at one point, they were repainted as sort of a promotion for Alberta tourism.
Right.
You might remember the tagline, take an Alberta break.
Right.
And so they'd say, take an Alberta break at, and then they'd have a name of a town in Alberta. So you can actually look at each of the cars and say, oh, there's the one for Wetaskiwin, there's one for Edmonton, there's one for, you know, wherever. So it's kind of a neat sort of the way to sort of distinguish each of the cars. So, and then the additional thing is that the graffiti artists have been legendary.
Oh, they love them.
Oh, just tagging these things. Some of them are just completely covered in graffiti. You can't even see much of the original markings. And then some of them are actually covered in rather big stains, almost as though some sort of chemical overflowed from the top and sort of poured down the sides and burned away the paint. So they look rather
dangerous.
Rather unsightly. Yeah.
So how many are now, we're talking about Delo, how many are sitting near Delo?
Well, I was curious to know exactly that question.
Okay.
And listeners know perhaps that I have a drone.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, hey, here's the way to find out. So I flew my drone down the entire length of cars, recording a video along the way.
Oh,
and then
wow.
later I just watched the video and you know and counted them as I went along. So I counted 258 hoppers. Now let's put that into context. That's one quarter of the entire number of hoppers that were purchased by the Alberta government. A quarter of them are sitting near Delo, and a half of them of the ones that were given to the CP. So of the total 1,000, 500 went to the CP or thereabouts 500, and of that 500, half of them are sitting at Delo. Now I went and actually measured one hopper just to see how long it was, and a hopper is almost exactly 60 feet long.
Right.
So if you do the math, 258 hoppers, each 60 feet long, the total string of hoppers is 3 miles in length. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that there would be 3 miles of cars.
So what do the local residents think about the abandoned hoppers just kind of sitting there like that?
Well, I first learned about the hoppers from a local farmer named Ian Robson.
Mm-hmm.
He actually farms right next to the stretch of railway where the hoppers are sitting, and he doesn't like them there, partly just because he sees it as sort of a waste of railway resources.
Right.
You know, a perfectly good rolling stock just not being used, but maybe as much for the environmental impact that they have on his land. So, as you might imagine, having this big, long stretch of railway cars acts as a giant snow fence. So in the wintertime, the snow builds up. He gets a great big pile of snow in front of the cars, which actually covers his land.
Right.
it doesn't melt as fast in the spring, so his land is actually wetter and covered in snow longer, and so it delays when he can get in and start planting his crops. So he would really like to know when the government plans to get rid of those hoppers.
No kidding. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
In fact, that's affecting his business just because they're just sitting there. Well, how long have they been there, like, altogether? Why are they still there?
Well, according to Ian, the hoppers were first put there about 4 years ago, in October of 2015. So they've been sitting there for 4 years. And as to when they're going to move, well, he actually wanted to know that, too. So he contacted the Alberta government to put this very question to them. And actually, as it happens, just the other day, he received a reply from the Minister of Agriculture and Forestry in Alberta. And the minister confirmed that they are still owned by the government of Alberta. They're not owned by the railway.
Huh.
And the reason that they're there is that they're becoming a little too old, and the Canadian Pacific Railway has acquired new hoppers to replace them. So the railway doesn't need them anymore, in other words. And they are attempting to lease some of the cars to other railways. So, for example, Ian says that last winter, they actually took away a few of the cars from the string that is sitting there, and they were taken back to Alberta. But the government of Alberta hopes to get rid of the last of them by the end of 2019. But it remains to be seen. You know, there's 3 miles of railway cars there.
Come and get them.
Yeah.
Well, why are they here in the first place? Why are they here and not in Alberta?
That's an interesting question, you know, and I don't know. I'm not party to what the decision was to put them here, but I have to think that, you know, maybe it's because the government in Alberta wasn't keen to have a large asset sitting visibly idle. And so if they put them far away in Manitoba, you know, they're out of sight of the Alberta taxpayers that might get a little irate.
Put them in Manitoba, they won't notice them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's super interesting. This story's not over yet, I guess.
Yeah, no, and in fact, if listeners are interested in seeing them, I did take some video with my drone, and I've posted online a video showing my drone flying alongside these hoppers, if anybody'd like to see what they look
on
like.
On the Manitoba Historical Society website.
Right.
Excellent. Well, thanks for bringing this one in. Give us a clue for next week.
Well, we're going to continue on the railway theme because, you know, when you think of railways in Manitoba, we tend to think of just two, the CN and the CP.
Right.
However, near Portage la Prairie, there is a small abandoned home that was built from materials scavenged from a third railway that operated in Manitoba in the early 20th century. And we're going to talk about that next week.
Can't wait. I'll be here too, so we'll chat about that then. Thanks for coming in this morning, Gordon.
We'll see you next week, Bruce.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many